Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sebastian Video Conference to discuss the results for the third quarter of 2020. My name is Mario Sampaio. I am head of capital market and investor relation. Let's start by informing all participants that this video conference is being recorded. The presentation, accompanied by slides, is being transmitted over the internet through the website www.sabesp.com.br and through the MZiQ platform. Presentation will be available for download on the same portal, as well as the results release. We remind you that the questions will be accepted to the speakers only through the videocast platform. Our conference will take approximately 1 hour and 30 minutes, and we will reserve 45 minutes potential questions and answers from analysts and from journalists. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that any statement that may be made during this conference relating to the company's business prospects, projections, and operational and financial goals constitute the beliefs and assumptions of Sebastian management, as well as information currently available for the company. Future considerations are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that the general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the future results of the company and may lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us, we have Mr. Rui Afonso, the Chief Financial and Investor Relations Officer, Mr. Marcelo Miaghi, Head of Accounting, Mr. Agnaldo Pacheco, Controller, Company Controller, and Mr. Luis Tiberio, Head of Costs and Tariffs. Well, we have a presentation to go through, but before we start, I'd like to make some general considerations on the company performance in the period. In this quarter, with the pandemic crisis still in course, a crisis that imposes caution and challenges in the economic field, we observed the initial resumption of economic activity with some sectors in the reopening phase. However, the recovery has still been very timid and at a slower pace than desirable. This is reflected in the company results with a direct impact on revenues as a consequence of the change in the consumption mix due to the increasing volumes in the residential category and reduction in volumes from the industrial and commercial that have average tariffs higher, but all in leading to a reduction in the total average tariff. In addition to this, we also had higher delinquency levels. We recently started our water year that runs from October to March, so let's remember how that went, the last year hydrological year went. In terms of water resources, we have been experiencing a period of severe drought and higher temperatures, and noticed that the works carried out in the last few years, especially those that added more water capacity during the water crisis, have proven to be efficient, eliminating the risk of water shortages in the metro region of São Paulo. Considering that the rainfall season started in October, rainfall is expected to increase and water resources are expected to return to more comfortable levels in the next few months. It is important to highlight that, as in the water crisis today, in the context of the economic and health crisis, we maintain the strong level of investments despite all these events. From the financial point of view, we have taken a series of measures aimed at strengthening the company's liquidity and mitigating the effects of the exchange rate uncertainty and volatility, exchange exposure. In this line, we issued the 26th debenture in the amount of R$1.045 billion during the third quarter, which adds to a total of 2.5 billion so far of debenture issuances this year. We also prepaid the $350 million foreign currency debt of the Eurobond that would mature on late mid-December. In May this year, just let's remember, we had already exchanged debt from an IDB loan of $494 million. We changed it to reais, representing 2.8 billion reais. If we combine these two movements, we reduced exposure to foreign currency from approximately 49% last quarter, last year, to 25% this year, reversing thus this adverse situation of a high financial expense due to the increase in the valuation of the real against the dollar and increased, at the meantime, the company's resilience to this factor. We also obtained from the NDS the postponement of interest payments in operation known as standstill in the amount of 131 million reais that were maturing during this year, and we preserved our cash by using guarantees insurance to avoid cash outflows, so far of 220 million reais. Also this month, we signed a financing, in fact, a loan agreement with IDB Invest. IDB Invest is the private area bank of the IDB group. That is in the total amount of 950 million reais. These actions resulted in the maintenance of liquidity and payment capacity, ensuring the execution of the expected investment of 3.5 billion this year. In fact, in the third quarter, we invested 1 billion, and in the 9 months, we already add 3.1 billion. This quarter was also marked by the bidding process for rendering the service in the metropolitan region of Maceió, taking advantage of the window of opportunities that arose after the approval of the new framework from the sanitation sector. We participated in the competition with a minority stake in a consortium with a private partner. This move is to show that Sabesp is prepared to expand markets and participate in other competitions in the future. With regards to regulation, we had the tariff adjustment of 2.4924% and plus the compensatory adjustment of 0.888%, this last due to the postponement of the application of the adjustment in April, resulting then in a total adjustment of 3.4026 in effect since August 15, which being in effect since August also partly offset the adverse effect on revenues that we had during the period. Okay, let's now go to the slides. Let's start on slide 3. Okay, here we can see a 4% increase in total billed volume in the quarter, 3.1% of which was for water and 5% for sewage. Excluding Mauá, Santo André, and the retail segment of the residential, social, and favela categories, the total increase was 0.6. Similar to the previous quarter, volume growth was anchored in household consumption, with the residential category increasing by 3%, while non-residential categories fell by 14.7%. Let's now move to slide 4. Here we go through our financial highlights. Income totaled 421.6 million in the third quarter of 2020, compared to 1.2 billion in the third quarter of 19. The decrease was due to the non-recurring revenue recognized by the signing of the agreement of the municipality of Santo André in the third quarter, which resulted in a negative variation of 1.3 billion compared to the same period last year. This impact on the result was offset by efforts to reduce foreign exchange exposure, as already mentioned, with the currency exchange of the debt, especially the IDB debt with close to 500 million, and then with a positive effect on the result for the period of 395 million reais. Net operating revenue fell by 18% from 5.4 billion in third quarter 19 to 4.4 billion in this third quarter 20, due to the effects arising from the agreement, exact agreement signed with the municipality of Santo André in the third quarter of 19. This then resulting in a negative variation of 972 million in the period. Added to this was the effect caused by the change in our tariff mix with the residential category with lower tariffs accounting for a greater percentage, contributing to the reduction of revenue in the period. Administrative selling expenses and construction costs increased by 20.5% in the period, contributing to the reduction in operating margin. Excluding construction costs, the increase was 11%. Consequently, adjusted EBITDA was significantly affected, falling from 1.5 billion, falling by 1.5 billion from 3 billion in third quarter 19 to 1.5 billion in 2020. The adjusted EBITDA margin fell from 55.6% to 34.1% this quarter. On a 12-month basis, the margin was 35.8%. Excluding the effects on revenue and construction costs, the adjusted EBITDA margin was 44% in the third quarter of 2020, compared to the margin of 63% in third quarter 19, and 44.3% is the last 12-month margin for this quarter. In summary, the drop in EBITDA was due to the non-recurring events of the third quarter of 19, added to the deterioration of the economic condition of the period. Let's go now to slide 5 to analyze costs. Compared to the same quarter in 19, costs, administrative selling expenses, and construction costs increased 588 million or 20.5%. Construction cost increased by 346 million compared to third quarter, from 683 million to 1 billion due to investments in the construction of assets, I mean, more investments. However, excluding construction costs, cost and expenses increased by 11% from 2.2 billion to 2.4 billion, a variation of 242 million. Among the most significant variations are salaries, payroll charges and benefits, and pension plan liabilities of 152 million. Or 29.5%, mainly due to the negative variation of the reversal of expenses in the third quarter of 19 related to the SAC, the retiring program, in the amount of 173 million reais. Excluding this non-recurring effect, personnel exchange expenses would have decreased in the quarter, explained mostly to the average reduction of 2.8% in the number of employees, mainly due to the gradual employee termination under the knowledge retention program, we call PCR. The variation is in estimated loss on allowance for doubtful accounts in the amount of 112.7 million, also contributed significantly when compared to the same period of last year. This was partly explained by the reversal of 51.5 million reais in third quarter from the agreement with the municipality of Santo André, and also by the increase in the level of default caused by the economic instability worsened by the COVID-19 crisis. Let's now move to slide 6. Here we will analyze briefly the main changes that affected the net result. Net income fell by 787 million, as previously explained. Net operating revenue decreased to 972 million. Cost and expenses, including construction costs, grew by 588 million. Other operating revenues and expenses, including equity results, came in negative by 11.7 million. It's worth noting that Our financial results, which had a positive variation of $389 million, was mainly due once more to the company's management to reduce the FX exposure. Finally, income tax and social contribution fell by $395 million in view of the lower taxable income recorded in the quarter when compared to the same period last year. Sorry. Let's now go to the next slide, or slide 7. Here we'll briefly comment on management performance indicators. Although the gross revenue per billed cubic meter indicator was 8.6% lower in the third quarter this year over third quarter last year, this indicator has been reporting a growing average monthly increase, as you can see on the top left. Operating expenses per billed cubic meter increased in controlled manner and compatible with the growth of our operations. In third quarter 2020, these expenses increased by 11.5% over decrease, sorry, by 11.5 over third quarter 2019, in line with the budget adjustments we've made in the second quarter of this year of 300 million reais, which we did comment on our first quarter call, and another executed in the third quarter of an additional 150 million reais. As a consequence, the third quarter of 2020 had a positive evolution compared to the beginning of the year, despite being 10.4% lower than results in third quarter 2019, as you can see on the top right. On the bottom, you can see the average evolution of the indicator EBITDA per billed cubic meter that has also a growth trend in the period. This illustrates that despite the adverse scenario, we managed to reduce expenses, offset lower average tariffs, and maintain cash generation levels without neglecting our investment plan. Let's now quickly talk about regulation on the next slide. This is basically, let's talk about the third ordinary tariff review scheduled for completion in April 2021. The report on the regulatory asset base and the business plan have already been delivered to our CESP, and in January, the preliminary P0 will be released. It is worth remembering that until the conclusion of the review, there will still be some important steps and public hearings for the calculation process of the average tariffs, so let's keep an eye. Still within the scope of our CESP 20 to 21 regulatory agenda, we contributed with a public consultation regarding losses, and we are currently working on another that addresses the criteria for sharing alternative revenues. We still have other topics on the agenda, such as conservation program for water resources, assessments of exclusion made by the asset base for the first tariff review, and detailing of the risk matrix. Regarding the exclusions made at the asset base in the first tariff review, we're working on this analysis and we'll present our study shortly. The revision of the tariff structure is expected to be concluded by March 21, but it's important to note that the future structure may differ from the current one. Thus, the required revenue that will be allowed will be distributed within the new tariff structure, which means that there may be different tariffs per category that we have today. So there's going to be a new distribution. Let's now move to slide 4. Let's comment then in a little bit more detail on the water situation of the reservoirs in the metro region of São Paulo. The 1920 water season that ended in September had a lower than average rainfall. The Cantareira system received 74% of the expected volume, while the Alto Tietê received 72 and Guarapiranga system 68. Next slide. With inflows below average on the three main supply systems, the Alto Tietê has been recording inflows close to its minimum historic levels. As you can see, they went very low. Let's go to the next slide. Considering the integrated system for the entire metro region of São Paulo, the system's total available water volume for October 31 was 45.7%. Although this volume was lower than the same period in 19, it is 1% higher, as you can see, from 2018. It's worth noting that the drop in water reservoir levels between April and September is normal, as the rain season concentrates between the month of October and March. So the purpose, obviously, of the reservoir is to guarantee water supply during April and September when rain falls less. Despite rainfall then falling less than expected, as we saw, we can observe that the water storage from the water sources that supply the metro region of São Paulo is under control. The construction works that we carried out, such as the San Lorenzo production system and the Jaguari-Atibainha interconnection, increased the system's water security for the metro region of São Paulo during the periods of this period of lower water availability and stress. Let's next slide. Finally, it's worth noting that the impacts of the economic crisis and consequently of the average incomes of families combined with the pandemic brought a change in the consumption pattern of the population with an increase in residential consumption. And as already mentioned, a drop significant in commercial and industrial production, although maintaining practically the same volume produced. As you can see in the graph, average production in the São Paulo metro region in October was 63.3 cubic meters per second, and volume 500 liters per second lower than in October 19. Well, before we finalize, I would like to briefly detail on the company's debt and liquidity management. As already mentioned, the company has been working to guarantee the execution of investments and to meet debt maturities, maintaining its assumption for a strong cash position, and lower exposure to foreign currencies. With the approval of the standstill agreement on BNDES financing contracts, which in fact provided the suspension of debt services for 6 months, Sabesp has a cash relief, as mentioned also, of 131 million until December this year. Detailing more, this month we formalized the financing, the loan agreement with the IDB Invest. The amount, just to remember, is 950 million in two trenches. There's a long trench with long terms of 508 million. Which proceeds will be invested in two projects, the Nova Pinheiro project and a renewable energy plant. Plants, in fact, are many plants, they're solar plants. And the second tranche, in the amount of 442 million, the proceeds will be used to refinance debt, including the Eurobond. The transaction is unsecured, and the total borrowing amount will be disbursed one time by the beginning of this year. So this is a very emblematic move. It is a multilateral lending in reais, lending with no guarantees, and associating to investments and to cash support and refinancing. So this is very important. At the end, such funds will be relevant to further and simultaneously preserve our CapEx execution capacity and support our liquidity. So that's basically what we have for the slides. We're now open for questions. So let's see if we have yet a question. But we have, I'm opening for questions, guys. Okay. We have one question that I can see here. Let me check. Oops, as I was speaking, I did not check. Okay, we have one question from Liliana Young from HSBC. The question is, there are one, two, three questions. First, can you please update us on the presidential vetoes on the June-approved federal sanitation bill, which are pending analysis of the Congress and are relevant for Sebastian? That's one question. Second question, can you discuss the appetite for new concessions out of São Paulo state and rationale of partnering with Iguá as opposed with other private run players or as opposed to bidding alone? And the third, can you please quantify cost impacts and savings with the ongoing voluntary plan and other saving initiatives? Rui, I'm addressing this to you. Do you want me to repeat the first question?
Mario, I believe that I've got it, the first one. My understanding is from the many of vetoes that are in discussion in the Congress to reject it or to approve it at all, as exists right now, because the law is effective right now. If the Congress stands still and don't make any change in order to the veto, presidential veto, vetoes. And the main important impact for Sabesp could be the one that that if they are dropped down by the Congress, allow the extension of the modality of a program contract for us and for everybody. In our case, it's not a deal broken issue, because as you are following, especially you, Liliana, we have assured the great part, the bulk part of our contracts before the law was in action. So we don't have a major problem on that. If there is any change in this veto, the extension of the terms in order to make us more program contracts will benefit us as well. So I cannot see any major impact on our side.
Okay. The second question is, can you discuss the appetite for new concessions out of São Paulo State and the rationale for partnering with Iguá as opposed to with other private run players or as opposed to building one alone? Clear, yes. Back to you.
Okay. Well, we do have an appetite to dispute some contracts and concessions outside São Paulo. We're at the very beginning of this movement. As you all can see, there is still some working in progress inside BNDES that's formulating some valuation and some rules for different state companies for privatization or for open to concession in the new regulatory framework. So we are also analyzing and preparing ourselves to compete and to participate in those deals. We don't have a specific disclosure, but we wanna we have make the movement very carefully when possible to make in a partnership with the private sector. Ideally being minorities in order to have the most as possible the flexibility to operate in a partnership with the private sector. So these are the general guidelines in order to move ahead.
Okay, the third question is, can you please quantify cost impacts and savings with the ongoing voluntary plan and other saving initiatives? Who do you address that to?
Or in the conference call of this early morning here in Brazil, we have comments on the provision we have made to dismissal for those remaining employees till the end of this year. So the deadline is the end of the year. There will be approximately in total around 1,000 employees, senior employees, that will be dismissed, and part of that will have already been dismissed already. And we have make a provision. I believe it's 130 million reais, maybe Miago will correct me if I'm wrong. And we do expect an important next year result return, because they are senior officers, so the highest salaries we have in the company. So the proportion is that we have 1,000, we have made the provision of 130 million reais, and we expect a good result from this payback from this retirement plan.
Okay. Well, we're open for questions. There seems we'll wait a little bit more for some more questions. Don't see questions. Okay. Well, Hui, let's do this. Let's end it. But so I don't see any questions coming in. So I pass the word to you, Hui, so you can close the conference call, please.
Yeah, well, we wanted to thank you all. I believe there is a final question
Oh,
by
sorry.
now.
Yes, I got confused. I truly apologize. We do have a question. And Tiberio, thank you very much. I don't know why I think I have too many screens in front of me. I got a little bit lost, guys.
Exactly.
Sorry for
Yeah.
that. And sorry, Alejandro De Michelis from Now Security. So Alejandro, the question Alejandro has is, could you please indicate how you see the evolution of delinquencies in the coming quarters and what actions Sabesp is taking to reduce them? And good, we have got another question now. Okay. Can you guys wait?
Well, the delinquency rates is it's we expected they coming together by the hand with the economic situation of the country, the employment rate in Brazil. Those rates goes up during the crisis, the unemployment rate. So we have seen this delinquency rate goes up also for everybody and for Sabesp also. We expect with in the coming months, little by little, a recovery on those payments or the reduction of the delinquency. It's difficult to estimate how much, because it doesn't depend only on the Sabesp measures, because those people don't have say the jobs, they're losing money, they're losing their wages. So it's very difficult situation that are not under the control of the company. Different from a normal situation, day by day situation. So it's difficult to predict The prediction of the delinquency rate depends on the prediction of the economic crisis and the pandemic crisis. So they are together. We expect that as the economy comes back, we reduce also the delinquency rate to our historical levels. That's it.
Oh, okay. We have Hassan Doza from Water Asset Management asking us to talk about tariffs, but that's a very broad question, not even a question. And Hassan, we'll wait a second, but could you be a little bit more specific on one or two topics you want us to dig in more? Is it possible? Or else we're going to be very generic here on what we're going to say. Okay. Okay, guys. Hassan has sent us here one point to dig in. First, he would like us to go dig in into the rate-based issue. Tiberio or Hui, you guys decide. But I think the rate base is the first. It's very broad, but it's the first point I think Hassan wants us to give him our view how things are going on. So the word, please, or Tiberio, you guys take it.
Tiberio, wanna comment on that?
Yeah, I can do that, no problem at all. First, I will understand the rate base as being part of our weighted average cost of capital that has been defined in the last quarter as 8.1%. Obviously, in a broader question, the thing that we should be commenting on is it's pretty much in line with what we had before. Like we had 8.11 before, now 8.10. We were able to grow our own capital rate on this 8.1%. And obviously, we expect the rest of the tariff review process to be also very transparent and very in line with balanced tariff review process. And that being so, obviously, we would be very much happy, if I may say that word, with the outcome. It's important to mention that we have delivered our regulatory asset basis to the regulator in early this month, and the next step of the tariff review process is in mid-January, when the regulator is going to publish the PNOT, preliminary PNOT amount. Obviously, between now and then, we are exchanging a bit of information where we clarify the regulatory plan that was delivered to them. They come back with questions. We are answering them. Also, they have a few other steps on the regulatory agenda also in regards to other revenues, for instance, that are shared with users. So right now, 100% of all the revenues that the company has access to is being shared with users. So we want to reduce this percentage, obviously, so that the company could profit on this portion. And the other important part of the tariff review process is related with the adjustments we had in our first regulatory, in the first cycle, when the regulator looked at the regulatory asset basis. We want to review some of the cuts we had in that process, and we should be we are concluding the studies on that, and we should be delivering a report to the regulator from now to the end of the year. I guess that kind of covers not only the rate part, but also the entire regulatory review process.
Okay. Hassan, I think Hassan, while you were talking, he made, but we see if we covered. He basically asked if we could comment on the asset base, especially the recovering the past dispute from the last tariff review you just mentioned,
yeah.
I think.
Yep.
And the second is to hear your views on the preliminary technical note process schedule for 2021. If you have any other comments on that one.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, everything is moving towards having a PNOT in mid-January. We are receiving a few questions from the regulator. Even if you were to look at a process like a water loss process, the regulator has published it, has gone through a public consultation on it, and has received or read some of the feedbacks. Obviously, Sabesp produced its own feedbacks, and the regulator is processing that. So everything is moving towards the belief that we should conclude the regulatory tariff review by mid-April. The next important step is actually mid-January, January 14th, if I'm not mistaken. So that's the idea. Everything is moving as expected.
Okay. Let me see if we have more questions coming in. Any more questions before we terminate? Let's wait. Let's wait a couple of seconds here. There's a delay, I hear. There's a delay. Okay. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see any more questions. And Hui?
Yep.
It seems that we do not have more questions. I don't get any WhatsApp telling me there's another one. So there is one. There is one just arrived. Wow, landed one from Lili. Okay, follow up to Dr. Tiberio from Lili. Lili, HSBC. The regulator has been tough on Sabesp, asking it to be very efficient, more than local Brazilian peers. Is the methodology changing so as to be more beneficial to Sabesp? Will the regulator include the RABs of Santo André, Mauá, Guarulhos, this 2021?
Interesting question. Beneficial is, I mean, there's a lot of interpretation around beneficial, right? Sabesp doesn't want a beneficial outcome of the regulator. That kind of could lead to the impression that there is a favor there. We just want a transparent, balanced process. That's it. And the rest, we believe we can deliver. So that's, I wouldn't use this word at all. We want a balanced, transparent process. And that's what we are getting so far. So as I mentioned, I should be careful with the word happier, and I'm using that due to the lack of another word in English right now that comes into my mind. But as long as the process keeps on going the way it has been gone through the last few months and weeks, we will be satisfied with it. That's satisfied is a better word than I have. Now, in regards to Santo André, Guarulhos, and Mauá, Guarulhos is already in the regulatory asset base report we delivered to the regulator on November the 3rd, so there should be no reason for the regulator not to consider that. In regards to Santo André, we're going to conclude that by end of the year, and we should be delivering something to the regulator by then. Obviously, in that situation, there is a bit of a gray area in there, as we have asked the regulator to consider anything by December 20th, but the regulatory asset-based report up until June 19th was delivered in early November. So there is a bit of gray area in there. We want a regulator to consider that, and some of the communication exchanged to the regulator also takes that into account. So there is room for the regulator to consider that, but it's subject to the process within the regulatory body, which I really can't comment on. And MAUA, the likelihood of MAUA getting to the regulatory asset base for this cycle is low to none. Actually, it's none, to be honest. Important to mention is that the fact that it's not getting there on the economic side means that we'll be considered in the next tariff review process back to the date it was incorporated into our regulatory asset base. So there is no loss, no economical loss in this process. Obviously, there is a liquidity, if you will, to consider, but other than that, there is no economical loss.
Any more questions? Still no questions. Let me keep a close eye here, which things come in very quickly. Okay. Let me ask. Okay, Hui, so I think we don't see, I don't see you on the screen here any more questions. So the word and the floor is yours, Mr. Afonso.
Thank you, Mario. At this time, we'd like to thank you, all of you, to join us in this third quarter results conference. And we're looking to see you and to listen to you in the next quarter conference results call or any moment with our RR team, leadership by Mr. Mario Sampaio, Angela Irovi, and all of our team. Thank you very much, and good day for everybody.
Goodbye.